Okay, now today we're going to take a look at a very interesting portion of Scripture from Luke chapter 20, from verse 19 down through verse 26 of Luke 20, verse 19 down through verse 26. I'm taking the title for the message from what is said in verse 25. The title of the message will be "Render unto God the things which are God's." Render unto God the things which are God's. Let's read verse 25 one more time. Luke 20, verse 25. He said unto them, now he's talking to those most self-righteous Pharisees who came not out of an interest in the gospel of God. They came to destroy him. But he said unto them, you render therefore unto Caesar the things which are his, Caesar's. You render unto the Roman government, of which they had, the Roman government had dominion over all of Palestine and most of the civilized world in that day. And then you render unto God the things which belong to God. Now, it is always right, and it's always proper, and it's always appropriate to honor, worship, and extol our great sovereign God and our holy God in all things. You cannot give God too much honor. You cannot give God too much glory. I'd like to be guilty of doing that. Well, you just gave him too much glory. You gave him too much honor and salvation. You can't overdo this thing. God is rightfully to be honored and extolled in all things. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory, both now and forever. And then that last word of that verse says, amen. So be it. Of him and through him and to him are all things. Render unto God, therefore, all things which belong to God. We can say with David, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. It is right to set the Lord Jesus Christ apart in our heart and worship him as God our Savior. And that's who he is. To the believer, the Lord Jesus Christ is not something. He is everything in salvation. We read in Colossians 3, verse 11, that Christ is all and in all. Knowing that he alone has accomplished all of our salvation, knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ alone has accomplished our salvation, he therefore is worthy of our total commitment and soul devotion unto him now and forever. That will be the occupation of eternal glory, will it not be? Unto him who loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood, to him be all the honor, glory, blessing, and power. And that new song that they sung that day that's recorded in the Revelation 5, Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 down through verse 12. Remember, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive all honor, glory, power, and blessing, both now and forever and ever. He is worthy of our worship. Now, let's go back for just a moment. Remember, the Lord had given the parable of the vineyard and how the husbandmen had the care of the vineyard, but they mistreated and stoned the servants that were sent from the Lord to them. And that's a picture of God sending those prophets, the prophets of God, and how Israel of old mistreated them and stoned them and imprisoned them and killed many of them. And finally, in the parable, the Lord of the vineyard sent his beloved son. And that is a picture and a parable speaking of the coming of the blessed Savior himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they said, these wicked husbandmen, they said, come, let us kill him and take the inheritance. And they did exactly what they said they would do. They did cast out the Son of God. They took him outside the city, out there to that hill called Golgotha, where so many had been crucified. Remember, it's called the place of the skull. And they hung him up on a tree, nailed him to the tree, and there He died for our sin according to the Scripture. Now, the Lord in this parable in verse 15 and 16 asked a revealing question. Verse 15, so they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Now, the Lord asked this question, what therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? Now, what do they deserve? I mean, they killed the son. What do they deserve? Well, the wages of sin is death. He shall come and destroy these wicked men and shall give the vineyard the blessing of the gospel to others. And when they heard it, they said, God forbid. And he beheld them and said, and he quotes the scripture here from Psalm 118. What is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected. The builders here are the Pharisees, the Jews. They rejected the stone that God has laid. The same is the head of the corner. He is the chief cornerstone. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken. Remember we talked about that last week. Falling upon this stone, this foundation of Christ and Him crucified, shall be broken. He's nigh them of a broken heart. He saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Whosoever believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. You remember the rest of it? But the wrath of God abides upon him. Whomsoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Now, verse 19. The chief priests and the scribes, the same hour, they didn't have to think about this very long. They perceived that the Lord was talking about them. Well, they were right, because the Lord was talking about them. And the chief priests and the scribes, and this includes the Herodians and the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, the same hour they sought to lay hands on him. Now, it's a good thing to lay hold of eternal life. It's a good thing to lay hold of Christ by faith. But they sought to lay hands upon him in a malicious way, in a wicked way. They sought to lay hands on him to end his ministry and to end his life. But at this time, they couldn't. They feared the people. They perceived that he had spoken this parable against them, and they were exactly right. So, verse 20. All these enemies of God, they rallied together, and they pulled together. These who were enemies to themselves, to one another, that is, the Pharisees hated the Herodians, and the Herodians hated the Pharisees and the scribes. The Herodians were the secular Jews who followed Herod, the governor of Rome, and the Pharisees hated the Herodians, but they all ganged up together, they all pulled together, they all rallied their forces together against the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that sound familiar? Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 4. The book of Acts, chapter 4. Remember? The kings of the earth, verse 26. Acts 4:26. The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For the truth against the Holy Child Jesus, whom Thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, you know, they hated each other. With the Gentiles and the people of Israel, you know, they hated each other. And the Israelites hated the Roman government, but they were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. You see, God is in charge of all things, even the rebellion of wicked men. Their plan of attack, they sent these spies, verse 20. They watched him. They watched him. You know, it's interesting in Matthew, I believe it is 27 or 28, when they crucified the Lord up on that hill, it says that they sat down and they watched him there. How gruesome is that? They delighted in his death. And here they watched him. They watched him. That's a good thing to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, is it not? He said, look unto me and be ye saved. But this watch was one here of despising him. And they sent forth spies. These are undercover disciples. This was the CIA, the CIA of their day, CAI, which should feign themselves or pretend they were believers and just men, that they might take hold of His Word so that they might deliver Him unto the power and authority of the governor. Now look at verse 21. They ask Him, saying, "Master, we know." Here's some things we know. And remember, now these are people who are hypocrites. They're acting like they are disciples. "We know that what you say is right. What you teach is right. We know that you don't accept any man's person." And He's talking about you don't accept the opinion of other men. "The opinion of other men do not bother you. And what you teach the way of God truly." The way of God. You teach the way of God. What is that? What is the way of God? Christ is the way of God. He's the way of salvation. These false and fake disciples, the words they used were not spoken in sincerity, but they were spoken in malice and spoken with hatred. And what they said was true, but they did not believe what they said. Remember, Nicodemus said to the Lord, Nicodemus, the Pharisee, the ruler of the Jews, the same came to the Lord by night and said to Him, "Master, Rabbi, we know You're a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that Thou doest except God be with him." The psalmist David said, "The words of their mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in their heart. Softer than oil, but were drawn with swords." The words they speak here, and what they say is in truth, but the words are spoken in malice. Now let's look at those three things they say. "We know what you teach is right and true. Could the Lord, our God, speak anything else but the truth? It is impossible for God to lie. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He is God manifest in the flesh. Therefore, everything He speaks, we should believe because He is the true and living God." His Word you hold in your hand, you can believe every word of it. It is true. It is to be believed. What they said next was also true. "Neither do you accept the person of any man." You see that? In verse 21. The Lord Jesus Christ in His doctrine, in His action, was not and is not influenced by the will of men, by what men think of Him or what men said of Him. "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? The Lord our God is beyond the intimidation of men. He's unimpressed by their power and He's unimpressed by the influence of any man. He is the King of kings." You see, the king's heart includes the powers that be that are ordained of God. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and He turns them whithersoever He will. Our president, our governor, our judges, our officers, our county people, they're under the authority of God, and He manipulates and controls them for His own purpose. The third thing they said, "The Lord Jesus Christ only teaches the way of truth, but teacheth thou the way of God truly." The Lord Jesus Christ, as the prophet, remember, sent of God, He could do nothing else but speak what God gave Him to do. Matter of fact, He said on one occasion, "The words I speak unto you," remember, He said, "they're not mine, but the words the Father hath given to me, those are the words I speak unto you." And in doing so is the fulfilling of the prophecy in Deuteronomy 18:18, where we read, "I will raise them up a prophet from among the brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him." The Lord said, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. But thou teachest the way of God truly." And He is the truth. and he speaks the truth, and he preaches the truth. Now, they've been plotting and planning for this last hour to ask him this question, verse 22. Is it right, is it lawful for us, being Jews, to give tribute, taxes, honor unto Caesar? Is it right or no? Yes or no? You answer that question, yes or no. Now, after they tried to act like they believed the Lord, they had this question to trap him, to ensnare him, to humiliate him, and to embarrass him. That's what it was all about. Now, should we pay tax to the Roman government? Should we honor the law of Rome? Their question was designed to make him answer yes or no. But the Lord was far too wise to be entrapped by their wicked design. They did this on many occasions. If he would have said yes, give and pay your tax, the religious Pharisees would have accused him of being a traitor against the Jews, right? You know, they accused him of that anyway. Look over here at Luke 23. We're going to see this. They accused him of being a traitor anyway. Look at Luke 23, verse 1. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation, forbidding to give tribute to Caesar." Now, he didn't say that. You see, these men are liars. You remember, they're feigned. They're fake disciples. Saying that he himself is a king. And Pilate asked him, saying, "Art thou a king of the Jews?" And he answered him and said, "Well, you said it. Yeah, I'm the king. I am the king of the Jews. King of kings." So if he would have said yes, give and pay your tax, the religious Pharisees would have accused him of being a traitor to the Jews. But if he would have said no, then the secular Herodians who were there, as it says in Matthew and in Mark, would have accused him of being a rebel against Rome. If he would have been silent on the issue, they would both have accused him of being a coward. Wouldn't they? Sure they would have. Now, we as a gospel-believing church must not allow ourselves to be taken up with the political wranglings and worldly strife. I never bring into this pulpit political issues. Have you noticed that? It does not matter one whit to me who you vote for or how you vote. That's your business, not mine. And I'm not the first. I'm not going to tell you how to exercise your constitutional privilege to vote. But here's the thing. As a gospel-believing church, we must not allow ourselves to be taken up with political wranglings and worldly strife. We cannot be too careful about these things. Our business is to declare the gospel of Christ and the sovereign Lord who rules over all things. He told His church to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, not to try to straighten out political issues. That's not my business. Now, if you want to go out there and you partake, you want to personally be involved in the political process, have at it. I've got no problem with you being and doing that. But as a church, as a ministry, as a leader of this ministry, my business and our business here is to preach the gospel. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ to preach the gospel. Our Lord said this, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight." You see, we preach the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Now, we see the marvelous wisdom by which the Lord shows His answers to the enemies of the gospel. It says in Matthew 22:18 about this same situation, the Lord perceived their wickedness and said, "Why do you tempt me, you hypocrites?" Look at verse 23. He perceived their craftiness, their wickedness, and He said to them, "Why do you come to me and try to prove me?" As the sovereign Lord of all things, He knows the hearts, motives, plans, and ambitions of all men. He knows your heart, your thoughts. You remember John 2:25, where we read, He needed not that any man should testify of man, for He knew what was in man. He knows our heart. We read another scripture, For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Psalm 139. He knows your heart. He knows your mind, your thoughts. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. He knew their motive. He knew their heart. He saw right through them. Now notice what He says here. You bring me. Is it lawful, right, to give tribute to Caesar? He perceived their wickedness. And He said, Why do you tempt me? Then verse 24, He said, Show me a penny. Show me a penny. Whose inscription, whose image, superscription hath it? And they said, Caesar's. Caesar's. They brought this coin, and out of their own mouth, they made this confession. The Lord asked whose image is on it, and they were forced to answer because they were under the dominion of Rome, whether they liked it or not. And He said, You render unto Caesar the things which are under his authority. Now, our Lord, as a man and a citizen of Judea, paid taxes. He did so in a most unusual way. You remember? Turn over here to Matthew 17. Our Lord, as a citizen of the tribe of Judah, line of the tribe of Judah, if you look over here at Matthew 17, Matthew 17. Look at verse 24. Matthew 17, 24. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, Doth not your master pay tribute? And he said, Yeah, he does. And when he was coming to the house, the Lord preceded him, saying, What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom and tribute, of their own children or of strangers? And Peter saith unto him, Of strangers. And the Lord saith unto him, Then are the children free? Verse 27. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, cast a hook. This is a bare hook. He didn't say bait the hook. Just cast the hook. And take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. The Lord did pay taxes. And He did so in a supernatural way. Now what that fish was doing with that money in his mouth, he must have been so hungry. That fish, he just eaten anything came along. And Peter found some money in his mouth. Now, believers ought to make and be good, obedient, loyal citizens to their country. There's nothing wrong with being patriotic. I'm all for when they play the national anthem. I'm all in on standing with my hand over my heart and paying tribute to this nation. Tribute to whom tribute is due. And those who choose to disrespect this country, shame on them. They ought to leave. They ought to move to China. They ought to move to Russia. Somewhere else. Believers ought to make and be good, obedient, loyal citizens, obeying the laws of the land as long as they do not violate the Word of God. Right? If laws are passed forbidding the preaching of the gospel and public assembly, then we must, like Daniel and the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, disobey the king. They were under the rule of the Babylonian king, but would not give up worship to the true living God and bow down and worship an idol. Now, when this government of ours passes laws that say you must bow down to an idol, that you must not preach the gospel anymore, that we must not gather in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ,
Now, I'm going to rebel. I'll be the first in line. But as long as the laws of our country do not violate the laws of the book of God, are not in opposition to the Word of God, then we'll get along okay. In all things, the final authority is the Word of the Lord, not the Supreme Court. I don't know what the Supreme Court, sometimes they're not so supreme. Some of the decisions they make are terrible decisions. But that too is under the control of God. That too is under the absolute control of God. When the early church was straightly commanded not to preach the gospel anymore, you remember they beat them and said, do not mention His name one more time. They filled Jerusalem with the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Peter said this, we ought to obey God rather than man. We are instructed in 1 Timothy chapter 2, we're instructed to pray for our leaders. Let's turn and read that one more time. Let's find 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. We're to pray for our leaders. We're to pray for our president. We're to pray for our governor. I exhort thee therefore, verse 1, first of all, that supplications and prayers and intercession and giving thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Remember we read from Romans 13, we're instructed to be in subjection unto the powers that be of God. John Gill, the old preacher from the 1700s, said, subjection to civil authority is not inconsistent with reverence and fear to God. If you'll read one more scripture with me, if you'll find 1 Peter, I believe it's chapter 2, verse 13. 1 Peter 2, 13. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be king or supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of them that do well. For this is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. We ought to honor our president. Now, his personality is a little bit rough. I don't like his personality. But he is the president. I respect the office. He is the president of the United States by the decree of God. Now, if you're a believer, you got to bow to that. You got to bow to that. Now, second thing, the Lord gives us what every believer must do. Now, the second part of this, verse 25, you render unto God the things that belong to God. You see that? Render unto God the things that belong to God. This commandment, now this is not a suggestion. The Lord, our God, doesn't make suggestions for His people. This is His commandment, render to God the things that are God. This commandment is given to all men, but especially to those who find all their salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to give unto our great God and Savior all reverence. Holy and reverent is His name. Don't ever call any man Reverend Smith or Reverend Jones, because holy and reverent is His name. We give all reverence to God Almighty. We give all respect due unto His holy name. We admire Him, worship Him, and give Him glory that's due His name. Salvation and all spiritual blessings find their origin, their beginning, only in the Lord. All thanksgiving and praise is due unto His name. The psalmist said, not unto us, O Lord, but unto Thy name do we give glory and honor for Thy mercy and for Thy truth's sake. All worship is due unto His name. The Father seeketh such to worship Him in spirit and in truth. All glory for His salvation by the free and sovereign grace of God belongs to Him alone. To Him alone. Now,
render unto God the things that are God's. That is, all things are His. In creation, providence, and salvation, all things belong to God. We read in Psalm 24, remember? The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. But especially all who believe in the gospel, we owe everything that we are, everything we have, everything we know, everything we've been taught, we owe all things unto Him. Render unto God all things, for all things belong unto Him. Now, I want to close the message by having you turn to these three references, and let's read these together. And I want to emphasize this word, all things. Turn to Romans 8, first of all. Render unto God all things that belong to God. In providence, in creation, and in salvation. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things, what's that word? And we know that most things work together for good. All things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. All things are of God. In the realm of salvation and in providence. Let's turn to another one. Find 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5, 17, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Verse 18, and all things are of God. Render unto God the things that are of God. All things are of God. Who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. All things are of God. We are made righteous before Him because all things in salvation belong to God. Let's turn to one more. Find Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 1, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory. Who first trusted Christ? Who first trusted Christ? That goes all the way back to the eternal covenant of grace. God trusted the Lord Jesus Christ for all of our salvation. Now, let's wind this up. Go back to Luke 20. Yeah, I heard what He said. Look at verse 26. And they could not take hold of His words before the people. They just couldn't get it. And they marveled at His answer, but they held their peace. They did not answer one word. They marveled at Him, but they never submitted to Him. They never believed Him. They never trusted Him as God, our Savior. The same thing happens today frequently when the gospel of God's grace is preached with the power and blessing of God upon it. Men may be impressed for a while, but they never are brought to trust the Lord Jesus Christ for all of their salvation. They're never brought to Christ in saving faith. Now, my prayer for us, may we not only marvel at His glorious person, but may God give us grace to believe the gospel, to receive Him as everything in salvation, to trust Him for all righteousness and for all our salvation. Now, don't turn to this. Just let me read it to you because everyone's familiar with Psalm 2. Psalm 2 ends with this warning. Serve the Lord with fear, rejoice with trembling, kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and you perish from the way, when His wrath is kindled but a little bit. But blessed are they that put their trust in Him. May God give us grace to trust Him. And render, if you do, you render all things are of God.